but
yep.
You know, well, there's something about it though. We just, I guess Missouri was very beatable tonight. We're just not quite there yet. I'm not going to give them a ton of credit. That's what I'm trying to say.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate that. I love the, we're not going to give them a ton of credit, but they've won 10 straight league games on the road.
The thing that's so frustrating about it is just like all the problems Tennessee football the past 5 years, the basketballs, so many of our problems are self-inflicted. And that was evident once again tonight. They had a chance to guarantee the first winning season since the Kiffin year in 5 years.
Yep.
And now, well, having a losing season is still in play, even if they win next week.
Butch Jones said it, 2 turnovers to none. That's, you know, you're just not winning. You're just not. You're not good enough to win that game, turning the ball over twice. And as Bino said earlier, of course, good Matty Mock shows up tonight. The guy that's got, a 1-to-1 turnover.
Yeah, the bonehead who's turning
ratio,
it over against Indiana.
Yeah, literally a human
grabs.
Turnover machine, yes.
Can't see that guy.
No. God forbid. We get the guy that rolls in here and looks like he's spawned from Peyton Manning. I mean, he's throwing the freaking pill around the yard in the fourth quarter. To the phones we go. 865-200-5402. This has really been a lot of fun to do. And by the way, Reed Carringer is coming up. He'll be joining us from RTI, Rocky Top Insider. Let's get our next call in. Hello.
Tony, it's Stu Manitarian. How are you?
Hey, Stu Manitarian. Welcome, brother.
Hey, I want to put a little different perspective. This loss hurt me as much as anybody, and I know all the Vol fans out there are disappointed in the result, but I think if we put it in perspective and just imagine the feeling tonight had we not come from behind the last 2 minutes against South Carolina, we're dead in the water. And we lose this game tonight and we're not bowl eligible, and I think everybody would agree that before the season started, that was the goal. And so, you know, I think we got to appreciate the night. I think it was a great night in Neyland Stadium. It was a great crowd. It's been a long time since we had a game in November that was as meaningful as the game tonight. I thought we played hard. I think, obviously, AJ, not having AJ hurt, but I think that we hung in there. We had a chance at the end. There were some questionable decisions, but I think big picture, this season has been a big step, and I think we need to appreciate that. And as much as this one hurts tonight, I think we're about where we thought we would be, and I think that we take care of business next week. We get to a bowl game, get some more practices in, and I think the future is bright.
There's no doubt the future's bright. There's no doubt you are exactly right. That's a scary thought, Russell. Without that huge comeback, that crazy comeback in Columbia, this team's missing a bowl game again.
Hmm.
This team's locked into a losing season.
Yeah, well.
And here I am, Stu Manitarian, and Dubsy, and Bino, and Vol Nation. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I must be an absolute maroon. I'm thinking we're winning the East next year. Why am I thinking that, Stu Manitarian?
Well, because I don't think you're way off base. I mean, I think with some of the guys we got coming in next year, and I think with another offseason for Dobbs to continue to improve, and Jalen Hurd, from what I've seen, is as good a back as we've had around here in a long time. We got 2 stud defensive linemen coming in next year. And, you know, so I think there is reason to think that. And the East in general, I don't think is going to be as good as they have in the past, probably similar to this year. And, so I don't think you're way off base. One thing that kind of frustrates me is the one thing that I hear Butch Jones say over and over and over again. We all know that he has his little cliche sayings, but the one thing that he continues to preach is consistency and performance. And I'll be honest, I don't see a lot of consistency coming from his coaching. I mean, between the fake field goal, which was an unbelievably good call, I mean, that was, I didn't see that coming. And I don't think a whole lot of people did, but that was a great call. And you could argue, you know, you feel like they played it right at the end of the first half. You could argue it both ways. Obviously, the timeouts at the end of the game and the challenge of the onside kick and that whole debacle, but it just doesn't seem like there's a consistent, whether we're conservative or we're aggressive, it just seems kind of all over the map. What do you think about that?
You're the at least third person to make that observation in 2 hours, and I agree with it just as much then as I do now, except I will say this. When you don't have the pieces, and as Bino was saying earlier, when we don't have the pieces, it's hard to see what you are and what you believe in, because you got to have a different approach each week. Each week has to be different, and sometimes it has to be different from series to series, and sometimes it has to be different from situation to situation within a game. It's great to say, I believe in this, I believe in this. The only thing I know he truly believes in is that stupid offense, unfortunately. They believe in that stupid offense, Stu. I can tell you that. But other than that, they are pretty all over the map, but they're just trying to cobble together 6 wins, I believe. Am I wrong, Abino or Dubs, in saying that to Stu's question? Am I wrong, Dubs, in saying that?
Well, did we think it was a stupid offense the last 2 weeks?
That's my point. But he's saying that he's inconsistent with, now we're going to go for it, now we're not, now we're going to take time
out.
That's
what I said. Yeah, I mean...
Now we're not.
People say he doesn't have a good feel for the game. Like, I don't have a good feel for who Butch Jones is as a coach, because it changes from week to week.
Wow.
Hey, guys, where has Ethan Wolf gone?
Where is what?
Ethan Wolf, the first couple games of the season, I thought he reminded me a lot of Jason Witten. He made some great catches. I mean, is it his blocking that's lacking? I mean, I thought he would be a big impact player come the end of this season, and he just seemed to have disappeared.
Well, Bino, they were using him to chip tonight some, so... Yeah. You know, that's going to limit his ability to get out and to be productive there, yes?
When have you ever seen...
I was told by someone who watches practice that somehow Daniel Helm passed him up. How that occurred, I have no idea.
Wow.
Well, when have we ever seen a true freshman tight end?
I know who Bino's talking about. Bino's got a great source there, huh?
Whenever you rarely see true freshmen make an impact at tight end.
No doubt about that.
And I think with Wolf, I mean, I think he's a fantastic prospect, and it's kind of like Malone, where he's just been thrust in as a true freshman, and he's just trying to tread water.
Dobbs last year.
Would definitely hope that those guys will make a quantum leap next year in terms of their production.
Well, guys, I agree, and I think there is a lot of hope, and I appreciate what y'all are doing, and I hope everybody doesn't get too down tonight, because we got a big game next week. Hopefully we can take care of business and get to a bowl game. And I think we're going the right direction. So,
thank you, my friend.
On the way out, I do want to ask each of you, do you, and I know it's a hard question, but in your all's opinion, do you think there are any areas that Butch should consider staff adjustments this off season?
Oh, you know what? I appreciate the call. Thank you, Stu. We'll talk about that in the future. I don't think it's the time and the place for that, but I do appreciate the phone call, the thought behind it, and I appreciate your call's thought-provoking. Bino, I didn't give you a chance to respond to his assertion that the guy's kind of all over the map. Is that true in your mind?
Tony, I think it's a legitimate criticism that Butch shows some inconsistencies in his approach. I think what we've got is a really good Triple A hitter that's now in the major leagues that's having to understand exactly what this league's all about. And I think it's going to take some time.
Is that fair, Dobbsy?
Yeah, I mean, he's still a young coach. It's his second year in the SEC, and he, I guess, had 6 years before that. So it's his eighth year as a head coach. It's fair to say that he should still be learning and getting better. And I think that's as much on his coordinators, too. You know, Jancic has been in this league before, but, you know, I think Bajakian is, it's got to be a learning process for him. Because he hasn't.
And I know he has more material to work with, but I think it shows that Jancic's been in this league.
I'll go ahead and answer his question about the staff change. I for one, hope that he's able to keep the staff intact as it is. I know people have beat up on Mahoney and Bajakian and things like that, but I think it's going to be best for these young players if they have the same position coach and the same mode of communication and such for another year. I think that's going to help them going forward.
Yeah, and unlike what you saw after Dooley's second year, what you're not going to see here is a bunch of guys trying to jump and get out because they know they're in a solid situation here, and they know they're heading in the right direction, and they know that if you're in a CDL driver – and if you'd like to be home every night and you're looking to change jobs, see, a lot of these guys won't be looking to change jobs, but you might be if you're a Class A CDL driver. Well, let me tell you about U.S. Foods. They're a tremendous company here in our local area seeking Class A CDL drivers for delivery positions right here in the Knoxville area. U.S. Foods, a leader in the food service industry, a minimum of 1 year commercial driving experience required, or 6 months food service or food and beverage delivery experience is required. And U.S. Foods offers a competitive compensation and benefits package, including medical, dental, vision, pension, and 401k plans. Apply online at usfoods.com. And I want to remind you that U.S. Foods is an equal opportunity employer. And let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Let's grab another call. The people on Twitter are very upset with me tonight, saying that I'm being a shill for Butch Jones. That's been a constant theme. I don't know what they were expecting out of me tonight, but I'm sorry to some of you that I haven't delivered. I will attempt to do better and say things that you agree with for the next hour in this program. Bino, you don't sound like you seem convinced that I'm going to head in that direction.
That would be brand new, Tony.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, it's Brett.
Hey, Brett, welcome, man.
Hey, I got talking about game management by the head coach and, like I say, being all over the map and that kind of thing. Kind of harkens back to me. Remember that head coach for the Georgia had, probably Mark Richt, that guy? Can't remember his name offhand.
Jim Donnan?
Was it Jim Donnan you're talking about? The coach priest? Or was it Ray Goff?
Goff, that's it.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
I have a sinking feeling with our coach is kind of on that. We kind of have that guy. Does that make sense? Or is that what I hear, you know, like say, I remember listening to call-in shows when he was at Georgia and obviously lived in North Carolina. I could pick up that station and you heard the same kind of conversations about his decisions and frustrations and kind of scratching your head, you know, on the crucial moments of the game when he made these kind of decisions and you're kind of going, what in the world, you know, is that the coach we have now?
Here's the thing. Butch Jones is a tremendous right now at this point in time, and he was this way at Cincinnati. He's your guy. He's a tremendous, unbelievable, world-class coach from Sunday through Friday. He really is. Tempo of practice is great. Tremendous recruiter. He's a great face for the program. He's not going to do anything to embarrass the program. He's got the slogans down. He's read the books on leadership. He says the right things at press conferences. On Saturday, he is going to do some goofy things. That's exactly what I was told by some people at Cincinnati when he left. Beano and Russell both know me. They will both attest to that. And Brett, that's what he is. I mean, that's what you're going to get. Now, I don't like the comparison with either of those coaches at Georgia, because he's going to recruit better than those guys did.
That just feels like, say, when you said the word goofy, he was kind of a goofy coach, obviously. And that's,
I understand.
I'm not saying they're the same guy. I'm just saying the decisions, kind of, you know, at this point in Butch's career, it seems like it just seems kind of similar. And, you know, I certainly believe in Butch and all that, but, you know, when you see a lot of similarities, you kind of wonder sometimes, do we have that guy? I mean, you know, do we just don't want to admit it because we're starting want our coach to be, you know, successful, and we don't want to think about it that way. But, I mean, when you think about it, you know, the bottom line, I wonder if that's what we're dealing with.
One big difference, guys, I would say, is Goff had no record of success.
That's right.
I think that was his first head coaching job.
That's right.
We know that Butch has been successful at a couple of programs before this. Successful really to what level? We're not sure yet. Will he adjust enough to be a good coach in this league? We don't know yet, but he's making strides in the right direction to give us enough hope to believe that he might be able to.
But right now, we're kind of Cincinnati, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different. This league. Hey, I'll tell you how tough this league is. Ask the guy at Mississippi how tough this league is today. That his fan base, they were making their reservations for a national championship game, don't ask me why, a month or so ago. And now they're wondering, are we even going to go to a New Year's Day bowl game after Laquan Treadwell got hurt? And Arkansas beat the living hell out of them today and made them like it. And I mean made them like it.
And they're going to get beat by their biggest rivals next week.
And they're
week.
Going to get pounded by Mississippi State next week. That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Thanks so much. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. It is a good deal. I agree with that. It's a hard deal. But, you know, there's not a – and here's what some people like Rhino here, for you or any of your co-hosts to be questioning the coaching is absolutely asinine. I'm baffled by your co-host ineptness. Rhino, let me say this to you. I'm baffled by Beano's ineptness, and I am baffled, equally baffled by Russell's ineptness. So we will agree on that.
Would have thought you
Rhino,
would have come to expect it by now.
No, I'm baffled by it.
Huh.
I'm baffled by your ineptness, and I'm baffled by Beano's ineptness. So we should not be questioning the coaching, Beano. So I want you to please stop doing that.
Well, we've apparently made both sides mad.
Oh, that's right.
So you're carrying water, and now we're bashing.
I've got a bunch of it's an interesting grab bag out there in cyberspace tonight. Funny how the same things can appear on the same timeline. These disparity of viewpoint. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. A lot of things point to the fact that this is a well-coached football team. A lot of things point to it. Tonight they didn't have their best night. Tonight was kind of an off night.
Well, pointing out that Butch Jones completely wasted a timeout, his second timeout of the second half, reviewing, challenging an onside kick that he had no chance of winning. It's not ripping Butch Jones. It's not calling for changes or anything like that. It's just pointing out the obvious.
You just said that you want the coaching staff back intact
Absolutely.
Next year. You're not questioning anything.
I love what Butch Jones is doing, but that was a stupid thing to do.
John Monroe says Butch is a younger Les Miles. John, I hope you're right. I will say this
to
John Monroe. I hope he's right. Les Miles is goofy. Mm-hmm. His kids play really hard for him. He wins games. Sometimes he shouldn't.
Yep.
Les Miles
got two SEC championships and a national championship.
I would take that in a heartbeat. John, I hope you're right. Back to the phones we go. Smartway Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. This is Jody. Hey, Dan.
Hey, welcome, man.
I want to run something by you, get your take on it. Secondary tonight. That's just kind of our game plan. Jancic's going to run a lot of man. But I don't know if it was just me, but more than usual, I saw LeVera McNeil. I mean, everybody got beat one-on-one a little bit tonight. But it seems like every one of Missouri's big pass plays, so one touchdown to the big Hunt from Missouri and a couple passes to Sasser against McNeil. Was it something with Yalka being out there, maybe Randolph being gone for the first half, but it seems like some adjustments were in order and they just consistently and repeatedly were getting burned from what looked like to be some of the same routes over and over. What did you guys see on that?
Bino?
Guys, I think we're still a step slow or so in the secondary in numbers. That's the major difference. I believe we get beat a lot. Even when we're in pretty good shape, we get beat a lot. So it's just a matter of getting numbers back there where they don't have to play quite as many plays and getting a little bit more speed back there.
I think he's exactly right. And again, I don't fault a McNeil. I don't fault a Coleman tonight. I thought Coleman played a nice game, except for the one he gives up. I mean, Sutton's our best DB, and he got burned tonight a couple times. And so, that seems like hitting a baseball and playing in the secondary at the world-class level seems like those would be the two toughest things in sports. People know about the toughest things in sports to do. That's something I would not want to do. But I don't think you're imagining things. But I'm with Bino. I think we don't have neither the depth nor do we have the speed yet to play with the elite teams in this league. And they have elite people, by the way, at wideout. Speaking of Missouri, they have elite athletes. I don't know where they come from because they're not credited for them on signing day. But sure enough, when they line up, they are on that football field and they're on that team.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys. I guess I was just getting frustrated. Seems like I was seeing, I don't know if it was just Jakob, they were making things simple for Jakob, but it looked like Jakob and Maven were both essentially being spies on some plays. I don't know what kind of zone package or whatever zone man combination they were doing, but it was kind of like 9-on-11, unless Matty Mock decides to run for it.
You're right.
But I just, like I say, I'm not questioning Jancic. I think he's our guy on defense. I think we're going to be just fine with him running our defense. But like I say, maybe it was just Yaka being back there, but I felt like it was just a bad game. But maybe we were just suckered into that for this week. I don't know. I was just frustrated by that.
I think that's right, and I think that's what they do, because they make you choose when you play Missouri. They make you choose. And, some of the thought, Sean Sinclair, who I sit with on Wednesday, and we were looking at some video this week, he thought Tennessee would go smaller than Johnson, simply because to give you a little more speed, plus you don't have to worry about having a young kid out there that's going to feel like it's going 100,000 miles an hour. Can you imagine how overwhelming it was for Johnson tonight to be at middle linebacker?
I'm surprised that they moved, because they brought him in, started him in at linebacker,
yeah,
and then they moved him to defensive end,
yeah,
in a fall camp, and then they've moved him back.
Right.
The next player evaluation I make will be my first, but he seems really big to be an SEC linebacker, and knowing that he's a freshman and already, 6'4", 250 pounds, he's probably going to get bigger.
Which is the point he's making here, because he looked tonight like he was literally not moving at times, which I know it's easy for us to say, but it's, I feel for that kid. Again, like Russell was saying earlier, at this level, when you throw those guys out there, these coaches, man, that's what they're paid to do. They are going to expose you, and they're going to turn you inside out.
Well, that happened to AJ a lot at the beginning of last season.
Absolutely.
Remember the first couple games?
Absolutely.
Just picking on him.
Absolutely.
And he got better.
Sure he did.
They have been doing it
well,
this year.
Well, that's what he – at this level, you either get better or you get off the field. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. So I'm sure tonight will be good for Johnson in the long run. It wasn't good for us, though, was it, tonight, which is your point.
Yeah, I would also agree, though. I mean, you make a good point about AJ. You know, after AJ's first year, or even a little bit last year, mm-hmm. all we heard was how slow AJ Johnson is and mm-hmm. how he's not going to be an NFL linebacker with his speed. And we see how we feel about him now. I think in a couple of years, guys, you look at who we had out there on defense today. You've got Mosley. You've had Todd Kelly, Jakob Johnson, you know, obviously Derek Barnett, all those guys stepping in. We hold them to 13 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the bright side of things.
Hey, it's a three-point game with 9.5 minutes left.
Yep, that's a fact.
Think about it. And they're going to win the division. Well, they might not because they have Arkansas. But it's in their building. I'm going to say this. People are picking Arkansas. I will take Missouri to beat Arkansas at home next week. They'll seal the deal. They'll close that out. They will get in that Allen guy's face early and often next week. But I appreciate your phone call. Hey, man, thanks for being up with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you. 865-200-5402. Beano, you old man, thank you, brother, for hanging in there with us. Great to talk with you. Give me a final word here, Beano, on the way out.
Well, I don't know if I've lowered my expectations below where they should be, but I wasn't nearly as disappointed tonight as I was against Florida. Florida was a team that people have been lining up for 2 years to beat, and we couldn't do it. This is a team that's won 8 straight SEC road games, and that's 5 more than anybody else in this conference has won in a row. It's a good football team. It was a bad matchup, and we got beat. Let's win next week and win a bowl game, and we've taken a step forward. We haven't taken a leap forward, but we have taken a step forward. That's still out there for us.
Beano, well put by you. You are a gentleman, a scholar. And here's the thing I love about you, Beano. This is a service of the fan, for the fan, by the fan. Nobody's better than anybody else here. You are hoarse right now because you, sir, lost your voice tonight at that game. And that, my friends, is what it's all about. And stop me when I'm lying.
Oh, well, you're exactly correct, Tony. My heart and soul's in it. I always have been.
And by the way, that was, I can confirm now, he didn't want me to put this out here, but that was Beano that fell over the wall earlier tonight. Thank you, Beano, and I hope your back feels better in the morning.
That was the reverse Lambo leap.
Take care, man.
Thanks, guys.
The reverse Lambo leap.
That's beautiful.
That ought to be a new Tennessee tradition. A fat
touchdown.
Guy falls out of the stands. We score a touchdown and a fat guy falls out of the stands.
Yes.
That would be beautiful.
Oh, man.
Of course, the SEC.
On to one of the players.
No fun police. The SEC no fun police would be out in full force on that one. But what a feeling that must be for that Ellis kid to score that touchdown, and for that kid from Morristown to throw that touchdown. I mean, what a great feeling that must be.
It's become a key trend in college football this year. Every team must have one white dude with really long hair who occasionally scores a touchdown.
Long hair is back.
Got to have that guy.
I mean,
it's
look
very,
at me.
Very important.
I'm coming with the mullet right now, brother. I'm coming right at
you. Are you going with a little no-shave November? Is that what's happening
at
here?
At 40 past the hour. I don't know. I'm experimenting with a beard right now. Not that anybody cares. Reset button for you. I'm Tony Basilio. Tony Basilio Show, heard 11 to 1 Eastern Time. He's Russell Smith. of the Russell Smith radio show, heard on KnoxTalkRadio.com, 94.3 FM, every day from 3 to 6 in the Eastern Time. Reed Carringer, who's about to join us from RockyTopInsider.com, has a show that he does every day from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m., and Jason Swain, who was unable to be here tonight, is also a part of this fine establishment that we call your Smartway Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. He's on from 7 a.m. till 10 a.m. every day at SwainEvent.com. That said, we are looking at Tennessee's loss tonight to Missouri. Missouri is now one win away from clinching the East. A victory with Arkansas, and they're there. Let's go to the phones.
They lost to Indiana. They've won 9 games this year. 9! They haven't played anybody.
They haven't played anybody. But if we played their schedule, what would our record be? I don't know.
Well, you wouldn't have. You've had.
I don't know. But let's go to the phones. Yeah. Let me get Reed in here. You're going to drive me nuts. You're going to break Missouri's. You're going to break Missouri's schedule down at 40 past one. I'm going to slide you. I'm going to reach over the counter and hit you. It's kind of like the
I'll
guy.
Slide myself.
Russell looked at me and he goes, "Are we breaking down Ray Goff right now at Georgia?"
Yeah.
He goes, "How that random happened. Is that? How random." Reed Carringer, get in here. Give me a couple thoughts, and I go back to my phones. And by the way, 865-200-5402 is our number. 865-200-5402 is the number if you want to get up with us tonight on the Smartway Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. And for the first time in the evening, we have one line available for you. There is one. So jump in here. Reed, go ahead, my friend. Give me your, as I welcome you in, give me your thoughts, if you can, on what we saw.
Well, Tony, I think Missouri made a bit of a believer out of me, to be honest with you. When you look at what they've done the past two seasons, they're 13-2 in SEC play. 13-2. I just really impressed with that team. We talk a lot about the eye test. Impressed with their skill position players. You talked about their wide receivers a little bit. And in their defense, that front seven is for real. They're secondary. I don't think enough talk. There's been enough talk about them. They just own Tennessee's wide receivers tonight. And they really did. Ball wide receivers struggled to get open. Tennessee's O-line obviously struggled to protect the quarterback. So very impressed with that Missouri team. Wasn't always pretty, and it usually isn't with Missouri, but they just win games the last two seasons. They win games.
And Pinkel gets a lot of credit. They're very blue-collar. They bring their lunch pail. They rush that passer boy down in and down out, and they're constantly hitting you. I'm really impressed with them. That's a good,
really
solid
aggressive
college football team.
Yep. They're a real aggressive defense, and that was Urbino talking about it. Tough matchup for Tennessee, a lot tougher than I expected. I thought they would sort of do some things to take Missouri's speed and their defensive line out of the game. They weren't able to do that, and a rough night for the Vols, no doubt about it.
Sobering night, wasn't it?
I think so, and I do agree with what I think all of you all have really said. Echo that. It's not as bad as the Florida loss.
No,
it's not. It's just not. And that Missouri team whacked Florida in the swamp earlier this year. Not as bad as the Florida loss, but you know, sobering reality. Like you said, Tony, I mean, Tennessee can still get to 6-6. It's where I had them before the season. They can still get to a bowl game, and that's a step forward, as Bino put it, not a leap, I believe. But they're also now, by my count, 1-3 under Butch Jones as home favorites against SEC teams.
Now, who were the games? Who were those games?
They beat Kentucky, their lone win, lost to Vandy, Florida, and Missouri.
Hmm.
So that's kind of just put it in perspective. The home games that Tennessee should win, at least when you're talking about Vegas, they've not really played all that well in those games. I mean, I think Tennessee really in the second half until the last couple minutes there where they put together a drive or two and really recovered two onside kicks but never got the ball back. they flopped in the second half, much like they did against Florida. They just kind of flopped, like they did against Vandy last year. That's a concerning thing. Now, I think a lot of that's youth, but you all talked about it, some questionable decisions on the coaching staff, and I thought that, you know, say what you want about Butch Jones, I don't think he's coached very well in these kind of home favorite games. Again, with the exception of Kentucky last week, I think that staff coach is a little tight in some of those games. Just my opinion.
Back to the phones we go. I want to unpack that here in a second, but we got some callers in here, and I want to be fair to them. So let's welcome our first to the show in this segment with Reed Carringer, who's with RTI, RockyTopInsider.com. Hello and welcome.
What's going on, Tony B?
Hey, who's this?
This is Big Will.
Oh, Big Will, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the house, Tony, in Blount County.
All right, Big Will. What's up, man?
Tell me, I went to that game tonight. And I'm going to keep my opinion on the whole game, Tony. I sat there and I watched them come out. Tony, I didn't see no fire. And I'm just going to be straight up. Me and you had some conversations off the air on the phone, and I told you some things that I heard. And, Tony, I sat there and I just seen what I heard. Tony, I think the locker room is shook up right now. The coach ain't having no fire, Tony. I watched them seniors come out there, and every one of them seniors smile come out of that locker room or hook. I mean, he just didn't, to me, he didn't embrace them seniors. And Tony, it's just, I mean, you could tell AJ was going on defense, and Missouri took advantage of it. I mean, they ran the ball right up the middle on us, and the guy that took AJ's spot, he was lost out there. He don't play sideline to sideline. I don't know if the kid can do it or not, but he didn't show me tonight that he can do it. But Tony, I don't know. It's just to me that that's the worst DB play I've ever seen him play all year long. And to me, I don't know, Tony. There was no fire. Bush didn't coach with no fire tonight, Tony.
No,
I did not see it.
No, I think you're right. Reed, that incident took a lot out of that football team, doesn't it?
I think it did. I think it did. I think that was hard to kind of measure coming into this game. You know, and I don't know that it's different otherwise. I don't think Tennessee's defense lost in this game, even without Randolph and A.J. holding them to 13 in the first half was good. I think they wore down a bit late, mainly because the offense just really didn't show up. I think that the offense had a lot more to do with this loss than anything. When you can't block
anybody. I mean, the offense had a lot to do with it, but you guys can say what you want. When you take a guy like A.J. Johnson away, a guy that brings, I mean, that's the Al Wilson that we've been looking for a long time, and this guy finally somebody still haven't done it, and he brought a lot to this team. Guys, I watched out. There was no fire in this team tonight, guys. I'm telling you. Kurt Legit was trying his best, but he couldn't get it.
It's 16-13 with about 10 minutes to go, and Josh Malone doesn't catch a pass that hits him in the hands. It ends up being intercepted. That took a field goal at least off the board, maybe more. At that point, I mean, I think the defense had played pretty well considering they didn't have A.J. Johnson, considering they didn't have Brian Randolph in the first half, considering the offense wasn't moving the ball. I mean, they played really well.
I've seen some run plays tonight, and I said if A.J. would have been there, that would not have. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see the fire tonight in that team, and I just didn't see the fight that I've been seeing. I didn't see it tonight, guys.
Well, McNeil, Coleman, those two long plays, they're going to get burnt if AJ's on the field or not. I hate to tell you, they're slow. They're not up to snuff with the rest of that defense. Those guys need to be replaced through the recruiting game. They do. And I don't.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, you can put Al Wilson out there. You can put AJ Johnson and Al Wilson out there together.
He played a pretty decent game, but a couple of times he got caught up in the middle, but I've been saying he should have been there before McNeil and then put Wilson up at corner and put TK safety. I've been saying it all along, but I don't coach that team. But and our receivers, I want to know one thing: we did not go deep all night long. Do we not have a receiver that can go deep? I mean, we throwing those screens, and we just don't have that receiver right now to make one person miss and take it to the house. We don't have it. And I done talked to three guys that play in the NFL do not like our receiver coach. He do not like the stance. They don't like the stance that them guys, how they don't get off the line. None of them are, I mean, we don't have a receiver that's mean and tough. I mean, they get whooped. I mean, to get downfield, they throw the ball thrown to them. They're just letting guys knock the ball. I don't understand it, man. I mean,
well, wait a second, Will. You've got Marquez Norris hurt, so he's not in there tonight. Will, can I talk?
Okay.
Josh Smith is injured, and it's lost for the year. Okay, that's another guy that's got some speed, especially in a situation like tonight where you've made ten weeks in, you've made the decision you're going to chip back and help out your quarterback by keeping somebody home. So you're down, and those are two of your quickest guys on the roster. You've got a kid in Malone who doesn't know who he is yet. He's just out there playing. Will, at the end of the day, there really wasn't a lot, unless Kroom came to play tonight and was big and big downfield, and you could stretch the field a little bit with him. Who were you going to throw a deep ball to tonight, Will, if we're going to criticize
the
receiver coach?
Do we have anybody to throw the deep ball to?
Well, not tonight. I mean, not when you take those guys off the field, you don't. Those are your two best players.
So all the hype that we heard about Big Warden, the playmaker, you know, the speed, this and that, where is he at? Why we can't go deep to him?
Reed, jump in here.
Well, one, you got a quarterback that hasn't completed a deep ball all year. Joshua Dobbs has not completed a pass down the boundary in stride to a receiver this season. Justin Worley also hasn't done that. So it's not been a strength of this ball offense. And then I think you're right. I mean, that receiving core got owned tonight. They got manhandled. They played soft. I'm just going to say it. They were soft tonight.
They were. They were soft.
They were soft against Florida. This game was a lot like
Antonio,
Florida,
let's go back to Marquise North. He ain't done nothing all year long. Even before he was hurt, he has not. Those low-level teams, yeah, he has some good games. But I'm talking about teams like Alabama, Florida, Georgia. He ain't done nothing all year long.
Yeah, but, Will, I mean, come on. Who does things against those teams from our ball club? You just going to pick on him?
Playmakers post two guys that are supposed to be playmakers. Tony, it's the coaching. This guy, he's not up coached these kids, man.
Do you agree with that, Reed? Reed, you're over there all the time. What do you think of the wide receiver coach?
I think Azani's one of the best coaches on the offensive staff, and I spend probably more time with him than I do with anybody in my family. I mean, I think that guy's a good coach. I think his receivers play well for him. I do think, here's my take on tonight's game more than anything, and it shows up in the receivers. Tennessee got beat by a more experienced, more physical, and more mentally tough team tonight, kind of across the board. Ball's playing a lot of younger players in Missouri. You talked about it earlier, Tony. Their program has been able to redshirt guys like Tennessee should be doing. They will. Josh Malone needs to be redshirting this year. He does.
No, I'm not. Okay,
he's not strong enough. A lot of those guys aren't strong enough.
Hang on, Will. Let Reed talk, and then we'll come back to you. Go ahead, Will. I mean,
a lot of those guys, not just receivers, aren't strong enough mentally or physically yet to match up with a veteran team like Missouri. They're just not. I should have known that headed into this game. I picked Tennessee. I shouldn't have, obviously. But this team across the board, too much youth, not enough strength physically or mentally to beat a team like Missouri that's just kind of a veteran-laden squad. They return a lot next year, too. That's going to be a tough game next season.
Go ahead, Will.
Okay. First of all, Reed, from the way he got those guys standing, and their stances out there. Especially if you got a guy like Kroon, who's, 6'3", 6'4". You got him leaned way over like that. You're giving the receiver the chance to come up and get their hands on him because he's already leaned over. Kroon, as big as Kroon is, shouldn't nobody jam him up or be able to box him out when he's going up for a ball down there. And that's the same thing with Pearson. I mean, have you seen those guys? Have you seen them? I mean, you over there at practice? Those are some big receivers we got. I know you like to coach as a friend or whatever, but hey.
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
This guy is, hey, you're supposed to teach guys how to get off the line, man. And that goes with hand-eye coordination and speed.
Well, do you think, Will, let's get it on the table. Do you think Reed's gotten too friendly with the wide receivers coach, Will? Is that what you were getting?
No, I'm not saying that, but I mean, let's call it the way it is, man. Hey, we got some big wide receivers, man.
Oh, gosh.
I think it's pretty well known on the beat
that Reed's in the pocket of Zach.
We got some big wide receivers.
I've never been accused of being a coach's pet,
when it's time to play against, you know, a top-ranked team, we seem to have problems.
Well, I'll tell you
we ain't beat nobody yet.
Well,
a top-ranked team.
Well,
been over there.
Well,
Then he's gonna hang his. He's gonna hang his picture up on that jumbotron like he don't want something.
Hey, you remember them beating number 4 South Carolina last year?
Well,
South Carolina, yeah, yes, he did. I give him his props on that. That's the only game he won.
That was the 4th ranked team in the country when the season ended.
Now, Will, do you really think that Butch Jones hung his own picture up there like it was his, like above a fireplace or something? He didn't hang his picture up there, Will.
Okay, no.
He didn't do that. You think he did that, Will?
From what I was told, he requested it. He don't deserve to be up right yet. He don't deserve to be up right yet, Tony.
Will, he's the head coach. He owns
Steve Spurrier. He might own Steve Spurrier right now. He done beat him 2 years in a row, but Tony, he ain't done nothing.
Well, he's the head coach of the football team. He can stay. He can be on the jumbotron. What's wrong with that?
It ain't time for that yet.
Sounds like a show topic.
He's a good recruiter. He's a good coach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But on Saturday, some of the decision and adjusting is still making me question them. But guys, I'm gonna get up off around this. I'm going to tell y'all, that team was not fired up tonight at all.
No, you know what they look like they were going to, Will? What do you think they look like they were going to?
They look like they lost their last friend or something.
Yep, and when you lose your last friend, where do you go?
Big Will, you're right. They played that way against, I'm telling you, they played that way against Florida this year. They played that way against Vandy last year to close the season. They've not come out and played super great in these big games where they're kind of expected to win. They've not done it at home for whatever reason.
Well, when somebody dies, where do we go?
We go to a funeral. But, Tony, I mean, to me, this is my guy's opinion. I done seen these guys play with like they come to play. They was with a grudge on them. They did not play with that tonight. I mean, I just did not see it, man. I'm telling you, the way he walked out of that locker, when he come out of that locker room, I did not see him jump around not one time tonight, like I used to see him out there.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your phone call, and it was great hearing from Big Will tonight, and I just had to get him to say funeral. Reed, what's that say about me that was my whole intention there down the stretch?
I thought you were playing a few games there, Tony. Is what it means.
But what? No, I'm really kind of a pea brain, but it is about, it's actually 2:00 in the morning.
I just want to know when Reed's going to get out of Zach Azani's hip pocket and start shooting straight.
I mean, Reed, Big Will kind of turned you inside out tonight. Reed was like, whoa, wait a second here. When did I say he was, And we'll just
I didn't realize that because I'm at on campus every day covering the program that I'm now as Bonnie's best friend.
Well, we're getting to the bottom of things here. 865-200-5402. We keep the conversation going. Presented by our friends at Smartway and Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic. And a word about Dalton Bearing, number one hydraulic cylinder source, whether you're looking for something that's standard, a stock, or right off the shelf, or you need them to custom build it for you, they can build you a custom hydraulic cylinder or a power unit for you. And Dalton Bearing also covers anything and carries anything that makes mobile components work. So they have hoses and hose assemblies and fittings and couplings and hydraulic motors and thousands and thousands and thousands, if not millions, of bearings online at DaltonHydraulic.com. 865-200-5402. David W. Cobb just tweeted out. We had somebody ask us earlier on Twitter. And so, Reed and Russell, I'll throw this at you guys, and then we'll go back to the phones. David W. Cobb just tweeted a moment ago, just spoke with a Liberty Bowl rep in the press box, said Tennessee is number one on their list. Tennessee number one on the Liberty Bowl's list. Reed, when Tennessee wins next week to go 6-6, where do you believe Tennessee ends up when it comes to a bowl destination?
Oh, goodness. That's a great question, Tony. See, this is an unprecedented year for bowls. With the college football playoff, it's changed the entire bowl structure. You basically have the college football playoff bowls, the former BCS bowls, that will select SEC teams, like they always have, but the top four, obviously, if there are two SEC teams, like it looks like there might be right now, or in the top four, they go, then the Capital One Bowl picks. And then there's a group of six bowls, the Liberty Bowl being included, that pick along with the SEC and the member schools. So before it was just basically the bowls picking which teams they wanted, and there was their hierarchy in order. Fairly simple, that if the Liberty Bowl had wanted Tennessee and Tennessee was there, they could get them. It's not that simple anymore, Tony. I mean, the SEC, the league office is stepping in and kind of determining where these teams goes in consultation, obviously, with the bowls and the schools. So it's a lot more cooked in the kitchen, basically, this year. So I don't have a great feel for it. Obviously, the Liberty Bowl wants Tennessee. They've been at just about every ball game this year. I think Dave Hart wants Tennessee to go to the Belk Bowl in Charlotte. He's talked about that with the SEC Network and kind of the SEC hub there. So that's a possibility. Music City Bowl, obviously a big possibility. So we'll see. Those are the three most likely, in my opinion, especially now that Tennessee lost this game.
Why does Dave Hart like the Belk Bowl?
They do a lot of SEC programming in Charlotte. It's kind of a big TV town. I guess Tennessee in a different market. If the Vols, let's say they go to the Music City Bowl, while they just played it, they will just play it in Nashville, the Vandy, next week, and they open next season with UAB in Nashville. So it'd be three straight games in Nashville. I don't think he's crazy about that. You had a West Tennessee game essentially this year when the Vols played Missouri and Oxford. Tons of fans showed up for that one. So I think it's just getting Tennessee into a different area. You know, Vols are scheduled to face West Virginia in Charlotte down the road in a couple of years. So I think that's a market Tennessee wants to penetrate a little bit more.
Russell, why the Belk Bowl, do you feel like?
Well, I mean, Belk is a fine department store, Tony. There's lots of sensibly priced clothing items in there. And for a man of discerning tastes, and like Dave Hart, a man with a level of expertise and a level of information that nobody else has, some great hair care products, too. For the man who, shall we say, might be going.
We got a funeral mention, we got a funeral, and we got Dave Hart coming from the salon. This is really taking a turn here.
Well, two things of that, Tony. The SEC Network is headquartered in Charlotte, so I mean, I think
correct.
Part of it. And then two, going along the lot, Russell was saying, if we're going to department store chain, is there not a Kohl's Bowl? I think there needs to be a Kohl's Bowl.
Kohl's Bowl. Let's go back.
How about the Skull Bowl?
Let's go back to the phones.
Randy Sanders,
you people
love that one.
Wow. God, now Randy Sanders mentioned. Next up, hello and welcome. You're on the Smartway Dalton Bearing fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call, Tony.
Thank you. Who's this?
My name's Michael from San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Michael, so great to hear from you, man. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yes, sir. Way deep in the heart. First of all, I want to thank you, Tony, because not many radio hosts will stay up to 2 a.m. Eastern time to get reactions from the fan base, so fans of your show as well, because I listen to a lot of sports radio down here, and most of these guys, they'll get you on the phone and let you give your take, and then they'll hang up on you, and you know, and that's it. They don't get any type of, don't let you elaborate, you know, do those type of things, and I thank you for that, because you actually do have the fans very involved, and I appreciate that.
You know, it's good of you to recognize that, because the whole idea here is, by not taking commercial breaks, which that just does not happen in my business, but this is an app, right? So we can,
yes, sir,
we can have people that will be title sponsors and sort of pay the freight for us to do this, and it allows us to sit in here for 3 hours. But Russell will tell you, when we're done this, it is way different than doing a normal daily radio show. You feel like your head has been hit with like an avalanche or something. It's a weird feeling, but I appreciate you being there, and I love this discourse. We've had some really good discussions tonight, so I'm looking forward to your contribution to that, my friend. Go ahead.
As a matter of fact, I've noticed you've also had calls from all over the country.
We have.
From Chicago, California.
Yeah, it's
Texas.
Neat. We sure
it
have.
Speaks, you know, that speaks volumes for what you guys do there.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And first of all, I just wanted to say my expectations for this whole season was just to see improvement. You know, and I think we've seen it not only from recruiting, we've seen it from the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, these kids, they're still, I mean, this is still the infancy stage of the Butch Jones era in my mind. I mean, these kids are still trying to, you know, get their feet together, learn how to walk. So I just think that, you know, we're a little bit outmatched tonight by an experienced football team. Not only that, but Missouri has had plenty of bulletin board material all week long. The SEC Network, ESPN, everywhere you talk to. The Vols are back. The Vols are hyped. They're the most exciting team in football the past 2 weeks. How do those guys in Missouri feel? The experience. A lot of those guys on that defensive line were either seniors or fifth-year seniors, playing against freshmen, playing against so many underclassmen. To me, I just think it was kind of a recipe for disaster for a young football team. What do you guys think about
it? I feel foolish because I believed Tennessee was going to win, and then I changed early in the week. I thought they would win Monday. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing with A.J. Johnson broke, and it threw it back into the I don't know column, and I just said, ah, what the heck.
Right.
But I was talking with some different people who said, you think these guys have won 9 straight road games for what? By accident? Was it just coincidence? These guys have an incredible defensive line. They run extremely well. They have a very good secondary. They're physical. Now, some people have said on my Twitter timeline tonight that they're going to get blown out by Alabama if they get there. And you know what? Maybe they will. Maybe they will, but I don't know. I'll tell you, when you can play defense like that, it'd be tough for me to see anybody blowing Missouri out. Maybe Matty Mock plays a terrible game and they do get blown out, but they're a lot better than we gave them than we were giving them credit for. There's just
right,
no doubt are. About that.
Yeah, and they also showed, you know, the resiliency in playing at that even keel, you know, that Coach Jones talks about. Missouri had that tonight.
Yeah, they did.
And, you know, and that's from an experienced football team. And you know, and they're well-developed. You know, like I mentioned, the fact of all the fifth-year seniors and all the seniors on that football team, not highly recruited. I guarantee you not many of those guys were highly recruited, except maybe a couple of the receivers that they have. You know, I looked at the recruiting rankings over the past couple of years. I mean, middle of the pack. I mean, you know, they're ranked in, I mean, I think this year's red class is ranked, you know, what, 30-some-odd, 40-some-odd ranked recruiting.
How do they do that? How do you do that? How do they do that? And it adds up to All-America-type players at end. How do you do?
It's kind of reminiscent of Arkansas when Petrino was there, how he never recruited well, but when he had it rolling, he had it rolling.
Or Frank Beamer when he was at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
They never showed up in the recruiting rankings. But, buddy, they would beat your brains in.
Mm-hmm.
They would beat your brains in when the time came.
It was always juniors, senior, fourth year, fifth year guys out there just know exactly what they want to do.
And see, what our fans don't want to understand right now, and I don't either, And you know, Reed said it earlier, you feel foolish after picking the game, but, man, experience matters. And it's men against boys, really.
What's happening at Mississippi State this year?
It's absolutely what's happening in Mississippi State, and it's what's happening to Ole Miss right now when Treadwell got hurt. They lost their playmaker, and it is like they're in a helium balloon, and there's a big hole in it, and they are blowing back to earth.